Welcome to What Is It About the Weather? Where once a week we get together and explore the many ways in which weather intertwines itself into our lives. Sometimes very subtly. Sometimes like blunt force trauma. This week we're going to be talking about how do you protect yourself from weather. But before we dive into the main topic, let me say, as always, I hope you've had an enjoyable weather-related week. I know I always use this word weather intertwined, but, you know, as we say here, we're not really focused on talking about the weather, but how weather does things to us, those around us, things around us. I know this week, weather-wise, it's been more about the non-weather. Now, if you're saying to yourself, Mark, you sound shockingly familiar to the last time you recorded, because yeah, I listen to the episodes, and I can hear my voice change from episode to episode, and maybe the setup is a little different, the microphone's a little closer, a little further away. But you're saying to yourself, wait a minute, you sound very much like you did last time. Or maybe you're not saying that. It's probably because I'm recording this episode on the heels of the previous episode. I'm doing something this week that I have not done in 4 years, over 4 years. I'm going on a vacation with my wife, just the two of us, for more than like a weekend. We're actually going to be on vacation for a whole week, and it truly has been 4 years since we've done it. And that is too long, people. You know, I don't know about you. We all have our reasons we get caught up in things, but 4 years too long. Now, that's not to say we haven't had some nice getaways, and it's not to say that we haven't done any vacations. We did a big kind of family-related vacation last year, but you know, that family vacations, and when I say family, this was my wife's, you know, all her siblings and their spouses, etc. We did this big beach trip, a lot of fun, but that all comes with its own stress as well, everybody trying to coordinate things and do things together. And we have just not, it's been a while, and we're both involved in small businesses and have been for years. And that creates different situations than with bigger things. When you work for maybe a government or where you work for a large company, a lot of times someone can fill in for you a little more easily. Or it's a little easier to make plans to get away for a little while. Not always. But it is harder when you got small companies. And you're involved in small companies. Still not a good reason not to do it. So we're doing it. And we're going, so when you listen to this, most of you will hear it, I'll already be back from vacation, right? But some of you will actually hear it while I'm in the final day of my vacation. But what I'm looking forward to about this vacation is not the weather, but the lack of weather. Now, I know, really, as we've said before, there's really no such thing, right? Weather's always around us. But I'm looking for a situation, that's what we've sought out, a situation where weather is not going to dominate the environment. We want to think about how we're not thinking about the weather. I was working on, as she was packing last night, the weather forecast. And it was like, I didn't even have to talk about precipitation one time. Not once, just temperatures. Not even clouds, really. I'll be curious how many clouds I actually see on this vacation. Maybe I'll do a cloud count. Or maybe I get a really neat sunset and we'll be able to do a cloud video, which I haven't been able to do in a while. Because I've not had anything really unique to see, to share with you guys. So I'm looking forward to it from that standpoint. And this vacation actually prompted this episode that I'd want to, you know, I've been thinking about for a while. It's not a new episode in my brain. But the timing seemed right, right? How do you protect yourself from weather? And now you may be saying to yourself, but Mark, you're going where you're saying there's no weather. What do you need to worry about? Well, we're going to the southwestern U.S., and we're going to be doing some other things where, you know, places suggest you have like little kits. We're going to be doing some hiking, nothing, you know, too complex, too complicated, but we were in a store called REI. And again, globally, a lot of you people aren't going to know this, but imagine kind of a hiking camping store that's been around for years. You know, back in the day, this was one of my favorite places because they have all the neat little gadgets for doing camping. Now, I grew up in a family where we did what my wife would call car camping, which you go to a campsite. Yeah, you pitch a tent and stuff, but everything, you know, have picnic tables and that sort of thing. Not really backpacking kind of camping. But as my wife and I started doing that kind of stuff together, because she'd grown up more doing this kind of backpacking stuff, REI was the store. Now, they're all over the place, but it's still what's called a co-op. Now, in this day of online purchasing and everything, it's not the same. And I realize this, but it reminds me of like going to buy software from Egghead Software or even CompUSA back in the day when it was not in the retail areas. You know, it was really about for just computer enthusiasts. But REI is the same thing. So we are in there getting a pack for water, right? Because we might need it because of the weather. I know, non-weather, but still weather. And they have this list of all these things you need to do. So I've had people ask me before, what's in your kit, right? What do you carry to protect yourself? Now, I had to think about that with this trip. So let's talk about it a little bit. I tend to think about when I'm protecting myself from weather or anything from that matter, because as you know, I've lived in an earthquake prone zone. I think about kind of three things and then three environments. So first, let's talk about the three things, okay? The first is protect. And on this trip, hands down, the most important protection I'm going to have is protection from the sun. And for those that don't know, I was diagnosed with a dangerous form of skin cancer 3 years ago. And hopefully the signs are all there that we caught it. Okay. But let me tell you that changes your whole world and how you think about sunscreen. And if I could tell you do anything, please wear sunscreen when you're going to be out in the sun for any period of time. You should do it all the time anyways. But I realize, I know that's not even realistic. But if you're going to be exposed to the sun, do all you can to try not to get burnt. And don't go out of your way to get tan. Oh, I know it's so easy for me to say this stuff, and it's not reality with our society, but sunscreen, number one. But the other part that was in this is when I think about protection, so let's talk about it in a broader sense. I think about, when I think protect, I think about covering myself. Now, for some people, that's an umbrella. For me, generally, you know, it's anything probably most likely to keep you dry. Because when I think about the risk exposure to weather, now sun is one side, so sunscreen. The other is staying dry, because the way your body responds when it gets wet is wholly different from how it is when it's dry, even with the temperature changes. So something to cover you, maybe something, and we bought like these little blankets for the hiking that, you know, if we were in an emergency, could cover us. But generally speaking, I'm going to have a hat. I'm going to have access to like a windbreaker type shell thing that protects me from the wind, protects me from the water, but generally takes those elements out of the way. And I do prefer something that's compact, because this is, you know, but fundamentally we're talking about protection. Think about it first so that you avoid all these other things, right? So then what if you're caught in an emergency? You're caught in a flash flood, right? Or a thunderstorm, or hail even. You're caught out in the middle of it. Well, then you go to react mode. And I don't think there's anything more important in react mode than some sort of minimal first aid kit. Right? Something that allows you to fix a cut. Maybe even deal with a sprain. Like if you slipped on a icy type surface. But the things that allow you to react, and I throw into that mix having stuff that will help you sustain if you are impacted. So maybe a pack of matches to build a fire. Maybe some high-energy protein-type foods, and of course some water. So all those things that allow you to, if you are impacted, to wait it out or to deal with whatever is presented to you. And in this day and age, of course, that means a cell phone as well. Even where we're going, I'll be curious to see how good my cell phone coverage is. But I know in the higher touristy areas, I mean, we're going to the Grand Canyon, never been there. I have no doubt that the cell phone coverage at the like visitor center and stuff is going to be great. Even where we're hiking is, because we're not talking about walking all the way down in the canyon. But some of the areas that we're going to go to, I'll be curious how good the coverage is. But no matter what, it's in this day and age, compared to where it was 20 years ago, it's going to be excellent. And again, more and more around the world, areas that didn't even have traditional coverage that way, cell phone coverage, right? ability to get connected and send it out. There's a funny movie with Robin Williams called RV, where he's hit this place, and I envision that we're going to be staying in a place similar, where he's trying to get a signal. But it is also one of the reasons that I don't buy a family plan with my wife. We do two different companies intentionally to have some overlap and some, in case we need it, in case one signal's not good versus the other one is. So again, protect, then react, and then rescue. So if you really are impacted, what are you going to do for people to be able to find you? And probably the best thing I always think about is making noise. Now, we'll probably carry these little compact whistles that you can carry again. I don't think we're going to need it. We're not going that far off the beaten path, or we're always going to be around people. But they don't take up much space. But some way, and no, that's not playing music out of your cell phone, as much as I like to think about it. I don't think the cell phone speakers or the mobile phone speakers can make enough noise for that to be useful. So these whistles, a lot of times they can be heard a mile away. And we're going to talk about different scenarios where, you know, even those horns, those really loud kind of air horns, I'm not going to carry one in my backpack, but I might in my car, or I might have one in the building I'm in. And the other thing, and I've never really thought about this, is mirrors. They suggest that for being able to reflect. And that's great if you're in a weather event and then it becomes sunny. But having some way to reflect light, it is very useful. And especially if it seems artificial. When you're trying to be rescued, right, you're trying to stand out and be noticeable. And having some way to create a light response, because light's going to travel even probably further and better than sound. And it's easier to locate the source, because sometimes sounds are not easy for people to diagnose exactly where they're coming from. So a little whistle, a little mirror, if I'm caught in it. And like I said, enough food for a while, particularly high energy food, not chips, not a Diet Coke, not those sort of things. So again, I tend to think in those three modes: protect, react, and then rescue. What are you going to do in each of those? Then I also think about, as always, where am I? Where am I going to be? And like in this case, I'm going on a trip specifically where I'm going to be out and about and doing those things. But a desert is very different than what I was talking about this with the insurance stuff in the last episode, than lake effect snows, for instance. So if I'm going to be out and about in Syracuse, or when I went snowmobiling one time with some family, and I thought about, man, what if we broke down and we weren't on a guide tour thing? What would I need in that scenario? Very different location. So think about that. And, you know, that even applies. You really do need to think about, oh, well, you know, it's not too hot there because it's at this latitude or whatever it is. Well, I can tell you Atlanta and Santiago, two places I've lived and spent a significant amount of time even today. Very similar latitudes, very, very different climates. And very different risk exposure for what you might need to be worried about. I mean, I definitely need to worry about sun exposure in Atlanta, but it pales in comparison to what I need to worry about in Santiago. The cooling off at night in Santiago that I dream about in Atlanta. So just very different things. And of course, all this, you know, so you think about, okay, what are the different modes I need to be in? Then I think about what the weather's going to be like, or even the normal climate is going to be like where I'm going. But it's good to know, have a weather forecast where you're going, especially if you're traveling. So, you know, you might think about this differently from when you're just out and about where you live versus when you're going somewhere. So, you know, I had to think about it from that way. And actually, that was a good time to remind me to even think about this stuff. You know, it's a kind of a prompt. It's kind of like the other day when someone said, do you have jumper cables? Because they were stranded. And I was like, yeah, I think I do. And I opened up my car and I realized I'd taken them out. Why had I taken them out? I don't know, but it reminds me I need to put them back in my car. So we always get these kickers, these little, you know, reasons to be reminded. And this is a good one in this case. But then you also need to think about, of course, how you're going to have different items maybe for where you are during the course of a day even. You know, what you might carry in your person in a backpack. You know, even or a briefcase or whatever it is, or your purse, depending on who you are and what you carry, might be very different from your vehicle, might be very different from your home/office. So when you're out and about, You know, I do. I keep a little tube of sunscreen with me at all times. All times. Keep a bottle of water with me. All times. Keep my cell phone and a way to charge those cell phones. You know, thinking about this, one of the things that I have not added, and I think it's getting closer to make sense, is some sort of solar panel charger, right, that could recharge any sort of device you use. Because even if your cell phone isn't useful to you to make a call, there might be something on there that you have some sort of guide for what do you do if that would be useful to have. And you might still get to a place if you're walking and trying to find a spot to where you do have coverage. And just imagine if you got there and you had no power. I mean, just think about that. What if you were a mile away from where coverage started again, or even 2 or 3 or 4 miles, and you walk all that way and you don't even know if you would have had coverage because the battery's dead. So what I would carry on my person, you know, some power snacks, maybe some nuts or something like that, a little water, some sunscreen. And if I think the weather calls for it, maybe a raincoat. I'm always wearing a hat now anyways. But that might differ. And you know, I've never thought of this. I don't carry a whistle in my backpack. Maybe I should. Some way to make a lot of noise, right? But what I have in my vehicle might be completely different, because I might have a more full-blown blanket in there for an emergency, or a true first aid kit. My wife has this little kind of tiny first aid kit she carries in her backpack, and even used to carry one in her purse. But she has it. Could it do a lot? No. Could it be meaningful in the right circumstance? Yeah. It might stop bleeding as something you need to stop bleed. But certainly in a vehicle, I have something more substantial and keep that in there. It doesn't take much to put a little first aid kit in your car. Having an umbrella in your car. I know a lot of people carry little personal umbrellas. I'm not a big umbrella person. I go with my hat and more of a raincoat. But in the car, I do have a serious umbrella because, you know, in that situation, I don't find it inconvenient to pull out a real strong, sturdy umbrella and use it. And there I might have an air horn if I needed it. Because you got to, again, with all these things, you do need to think that whatever you have that's electrical is probably going to wear down. But this gets back to cell phone. Cell phone with a little bit of power is a great flashlight. They all are, right? When we talked about ways that your cell phone might be useful, that even if it's not calling somebody, it can be a tremendous flashlight. But having a more substantial flashlight with a little more battery backup and power would be good to have in your car. So again, it's about where you are and what makes sense to have around. And your home is always a different thing. Now, most people don't think about every day about this stuff. But if you live anywhere where there's tornadoes or where a hurricane might go through, what are you going to do if one of those things comes? Now, in some areas of the U.S., and I know in other places around the world, I mean, you actually have storm shelters. Some of them are underground, right? That somewhere you can go to get to a safe place. But if we're talking tornado, they even talk about now, and I did this with some of the Weather Ready Nation stuff when we were talking about it earlier in the year. Having a hard hat, and I never really thought about this from a weather standpoint. There's a lot of things I thought about with an earthquake standpoint and things I had in the house. But again, it might depend on what your weather is and where you are from that standpoint. You know, if you have severe winter weather that's not likely to damage your house but might leave you without power, yeah, you ought to have some water in there. Just bottles of water. I mean, you may not drink them. You know, it's good to rotate them every so often. But they may just be sitting in the cabinet just in case. Or some canned goods that you're not prone to eating on a regular basis, but that you might want to have for those larger scale weather events where you're not going to be out necessarily walking around or even in your vehicle, but you might be in a home or, like I said, an office, depending on what you do. So I tend to think about it in those modes. And then I also tend to think about it where I might have different kits for the types of things. You know, certainly what I'm going to carry on my person is going to be more compact, maybe a little less useful depending on the situation than what I'm going to have in a vehicle or what I'm going to have in my home. And of course, then translating that all back to the type of weather you're going in. But if you're traveling in your car and going from zone A to zone B, it's good to know. Might you need to have something different? Yeah. What's it worth carrying just to be safe? I don't know. What would you include in your safety kit? And again, I think this goes beyond just weather. I think weather's a big component, but let's just talk natural disasters in general. What do you put in your weather kit? Because I know people that think about earthquakes think different things. Let me know what you think. What's in yours? What is it about the weather? gmail.com. What is it about the weather.com/contact? Let me know. I would be interested to know what you think's important or how you think about what you put in your emergency kits. You know, there's an interesting book. I've mentioned Dennis Mercereau before, and he wrote a book a few years ago called The Extreme Weather Survivor Manual, and there's a longer title to it. It's like 214 And I have not read it yet. And I was going to try to pick it up for this trip that I've been on, but it's checked out at my library. I may have bought a copy by the time I'm going through this anyways, but I decided specifically not to do it before this because I didn't want to impact myself, but I'll put a link in the show notes. I've heard really good things about it. It's an interesting kind of take on extreme weather events. So something you might want to check out, and hopefully I'll do a read soon and maybe give you a review of what I thought about it. Now, this week, you got it a little shorter. See, I even narrowed it in a little bit more than last week. But hopefully, we've taken a look at some things. And, you know, I didn't want to make it, you know, the rambling episode, but it is a little bit of a rambling thought process because this is a thinking process of what would you put in your kit, right? So do take the time to go through the exercise. Maybe you read this book by Dennis Mercereau first, or maybe you refer to some of the Weather Ready Nation, and I'll put a link in the show notes for some of that stuff as well. But with the way the hurricane season's been, and it's just been one of those years where we're reminded of what are you going to do if the weather comes after you? Now, you know how to get hold of the podcast. I've already put that out there. But don't forget, your support means a tremendous amount. And I could have easily not done a podcast this week, and nobody would have been the wiser for it. You know, no one would have missed anything. Probably it would probably have been good. Hey, not listening to Mark anyways. 1 week off is not going to kill anything. But it's through your support that, you know, I wanted to go ahead and do it because you've come to gotten used to, you know, this is once a week. We get together. So thank you for all the support you've given us thus far. As I mentioned, we're looking at some new things like doing the recordings with interviewees and those sort of things. I've started to put some of that equipment in place. Got a couple more things to do. And it is your support financially that's helped with that piece. But as I've said, it's, you know, as the audience has grown and I've heard from different people, it's all that feedback as well that helps me shape where the podcast is going and what it's going to be like down the road. So RSVP, rate, share, validate, and pledge. Whichever of those you're doing, whether it's multiples or just one, they all matter and they're all helpful. So thank you for supporting the podcast, and thank you for whichever way you're able to do it in those things. Because collectively, hopefully we're all walking away better prepared, like this week, for dealing with weather. But just maybe we're taking weather and it becoming a little more conscious when we think about things. Not so much about whether it's raining and I need an umbrella, but we're looking at something and going, I wonder if weather plays a role in that, or what kind of role does weather play in that? And you go in and Google it yourself. Of course, you know, if you think it's something noteworthy, let me know. Because as we all know, there's much more to weather than the weather itself.
This is Two White Sofa Production.
We're tired of hearing our uncle grovel, so please support him on patreon.com/weather.